All right, if we can back off of our control, we're going to turn the program over to our dear friend and colleague, Fred Bertelsen, to take us down a stroll down memory lane and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. So let's turn the microphone over to Fred.
Hi, everybody. Are you ready to take a stroll down memory lane? Got some great programs on tap for you here tonight. Let's begin our stroll down memory lane by dropping in on Jim Amici as Sergeant Jim West of the Canadian Northwest Mounted Police, also known as the Silver Eagle. Tonight's story, Decoy for Death.
General Mills, makers of Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions, and Cheerios, the oat cereal ready to eat, presents the Silver Eagle! A cry of the wasp, a trail of danger, a scarlet rider of the Northwest Mounted serving justice with the swiftness of an arrow. The Silver Eagle! Untamed North, frontier of adventure and peril. The lone, mysterious North, where one man dedicated to the motto of the Canadian Northwest Mounted Police faces danger and death to bring in the lawless and maintain the right. The most famous Mountie of them all, the Silver Eagle. The transcribed record and events dealing with our Silver Eagle case after this message. Champions are made, not born. If anyone knows that's true, it's Wheaties champion Bob Lemon, outstanding pitcher for the Cleveland Indians. Here's his story. Bob played infield at Wilson High. That's where he got his batting eye. He worked instead of merely wishing. To be a champ was Bob's ambition. He chose Wheaties for top condition. A pitcher now, Bob's made his mark. He still relies on Wheaties spark. Because Bob Lemon, a steady Wheaties eater for 19 years, knows Wheaties gives him this important energy bonus. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. Burn it in, Bob. Keep them swinging.
He's on his way. Get on your way with Wheaties. Cause champions are made, not born.
Yes, sir.
Get on your way
with Wheaties,
Breakfast of Champions.
And now our Silver Eagle adventure, Decoy for Death. John Perkey was a town banker in a small community in western Canada. To his employees at the bank, he was a strict master whose word was absolute law. But at home, the real head of the house was his sharp-tongued wife, Abigail. One evening, as he returned home from the bank.
That you, John?
Yes, my dear. Is dinner ready?
It soon will be. Just sit down and wait.
Yes, my dear.
Anything important happen today?
No. Bank running smoothly, as usual. Oh, there's a Mountie in town passing through on patrol when they call the Silver Eagle.
Sergeant West?
That's right. He's traveling with that big French-Canadian friend of his, Joe Bedeau.
I hope you told him about Sam Boga.
Why, no, I didn't think to mention that.
You didn't mention it, even though he may have killed that woman?
No, Abigail, we don't know that anything's wrong.
No, and we never will unless the police do something. Where is he, the sergeant, I mean?
Well, last I saw, he and his friend were having supper in the Maple Leaf Cafe.
Then you mouse right back downtown and tell him the whole business.
No, Abigail, there's no call for us poking our nose into something that don't concern us.
If murder doesn't concern us, I'd like to know what does. He could all be murdered in our beds, and you wouldn't do a thing about it.
Well, how could I if I were murdered?
John Perkey, the truth is you haven't got enough backbone. Well, if you won't do anything, I will. I'm going to the Maple Leaf Cafe and talk to the sergeant right now.
Oh, because the got me a pretty good dealer. Those last two steaks just hit the spot. How's Joe like to eat?
You've got an appetite like a hippopotamus.
Hippowetamus?
A hippopotamus. He has a jaw that long.
Son of a gumdrop. How'd he get his shirt off?
Sergeant, what?
Pueblo, here come Banker's wife. She got jaw like hippo, what you call it.
I was hoping I'd find you here.
Good evening, Mrs. Fergie.
You may not think so when you hear what I have to tell you.
By the way, this is my friend, Tilbert Dole.
Bonsoir, madame.
We've met before. He sat on my hat at the church benefit.
Sorry about that.
What's wrong, Mrs. Fergie?
That's what I'm counting on you to find out.
I don't understand him.
Do you know Sam Bogart?
Yes, at least I know who he is. He has a little sheep ranch near town, doesn't he?
That's right. I have a suspicion that he's guilty of murder.
Murder? Okay, yeah. You'd better explain that.
Well, about 2 months ago, he brought a woman out to his ranch.
Who was she?
He claimed she was his sister. Said she came out from the east to stay with him. That may or may not have been the truth, but anyhow, that woman has disappeared.
How do you know?
Because I haven't seen hardly her ever since, that's why.
Perhaps she doesn't care to come into town.
I've gone out there 3 times to pay her a social visit. Every time, Sam Bogart turned me away. Said she wasn't feeling well. Wouldn't even let me in the house.
I see.
And there's something else. Now, Sam Bogart doesn't make $500 in a whole year. But right after she came, my husband told me that Sam deposited $5,000 in the bank.
Son of a gun, that'd be a lot of money.
You bet it's a lot of money. And if you ask me, he got it from that poor woman. She was probably one of them mail-order brides you read about. He lured her out here just to get his hands on that money, and then he killed her.
That's a mighty serious charge, Mrs. Fergie.
Your duty is plain, Sergeant.
What are we going to do, mon ami?
I guess we better ride out there and investigate.
Oh, my God. Oh, my little one. You suppose something really do happen to woman, mon ami?
No telling. We'll see what Bogart has to say.
Yes? Oh, cheers, Sergeant.
Evening, Sam.
Bonsoir, my friend.
Howdy, Joe.
May we step inside?
Sure. Come in. What can I do for you?
I understand his sister's staying here with him.
Why, yeah. That is, she was staying here.
Where is she now?
She left a few days ago. Went back east.
Oh? Where'd she go?
Toronto.
Can you give me her address there?
Her address? Oh, say, now look, Sergeant. What's this all about? Why all the questions?
Your sister wasn't seen after she came here, Sam. Frankly, let her out of suspicion. I just want to make sure nothing happened to her.
Oh, that's it. I suppose that old windbag Abigail Perky put you up to this.
You still haven't answered my question.
Well, what do you want to know?
Her address in Toronto.
I don't know her address.
Okay, Bruce, she'd be your own sister, my friend.
She don't have a home of her own. She boards in a hotel.
Don't you know which one?
No, I don't.
Do you mind if I search your house?
You're doggone right, I might.
Why, if you've got nothing to hide?
Because I don't like the idea, that's why. I'm not going to let a red coat poke around my house just to satisfy some nosy old woman.
I can understand how you feel, but don't you realize you're only making things look more suspicious? Why not submit to
Have you got a search warrant?
I can get one.
Well, you haven't got one yet. So you better clear out.
Son of a gun, you talk kind of tough, my friend. Maybe Joe
can... Never mind, Joe. He's within his rights. Come along.
Who are you, more than me?
Man, form is a tackle, Sergeant. Just remember that.
Come, tackle. What do we do now, Gene?
Only one thing I can do. Go to the Justice of the Peace and get a search warrant. You stay here and keep a watch on the house. Ride with me as far as that line of trees and wait there.
What if he try leave before you come back?
If he does, we'll know something's wrong. Don't try to stop him, but follow him.
Okie dokie.
Let's mount.
Steady, Battle.
Sam Bogart had pulled aside one of the window shades slightly and was staring out into the moonlit darkness. He stood there for a few moments, watching as the Mountie and the big fence canuck rolled off. Then he turned and went to a back room of the house.
Well? We're in trouble, Duboy.
What do you mean? Who was it?
A Mountie.
A Mountie?
Yeah, the one they call the Silver Eagle.
That is bad. What did he want?
A banker's wife. That old busybody I told you about. Must have gone to him and told him my sister disappeared. So now he comes around looking for her.
Oh. What did you tell him?
What could I tell him? I said she'd left. Went back east. Now he's gone for a search warrant.
But if he searches here...
Yeah, if he finds out the truth, you know what that'll mean. Once that man gets on a trail, he never quits. Not till you're swinging at the end of a rope.
You're in this deep, Bogart. You're an accessory to murder.
Never mind all that. I know what I'm up against. What we've got to do is start thinking. Fast.
Joe Badeau was waiting in the grove of trees when a Silver Eagle returned with a search warrant.
Go, Battle.
You'll get this search warrant, mon ami?
Yes, right here in my pocket. Signed by the Justice of the Peace.
I think you're not going to need that after all.
Why?
Our friend, Monsieur Bogart, he copped the flea. I mean, he flee the coop.
When?
Well, just a little while after you leave. He go out back way to the stable and hitch up buckboard.
And that don't be all.
What do you mean? Before he drive away, he go back in the ranch house. And when he come out, he carry big, long bundle.
A big, long bundle? You mean?
Hey, just about big enough for human body.
Which way did he go?
He take trail away from town. Head shot.
Let's go after him. Come on, Battle.
Up, my little one.
Instead of following the trail, Lamonte and Joe took a shortcut through the hills, hoping to overtake the fugitive. As they urged their horses down a steep grade, they could make out a buckboard and team rattling along the trail below.
There he goes, on the me. I'll fire a shot so he'll know we want him to stop.
The driver of the buckboard didn't stop, but Lamonte and Joe soon overtook him.
Stop your team, Bogart! Is that you, Sergeant?
Didn't you hear my signal?
I heard the shots, if that's what you mean. Well, I thought I was being attacked by road agents.
Mind telling me where you're going?
I figured I'd take a trip down to Medic. This be crazy time of night to take sleep, my friend.
What are you carrying in your wagon?
A bedroll and some clothes.
I'll see for myself.
Now, hold on, Sergeant. You got no right to go poking in my personal belongings.
I have a search warrant this time, Bogart. That'll cover a search of your wagon as well as your ranch house. Keep them covered, Joe.
Oui, mon ami.
I'll see what's wrapped up in this long bundle.
Back to our thrilling Silver Eagle adventure in just a few seconds. But first, listen to this.
This is Mel Allen, sports announcer. Maybe you're interested in what big league scouts look for in young players. Take the case of Harvey Keene of Detroit, voted Rookie of the Year in 1953. Harvey could hit, sure. But more than that, the scouts noticed he soaked up instruction, practiced hard, followed a good training diet, including Wheaties. Now I happen to know Harvey's been eating Wheaties 17 years now, since he was six. Scouts tell me too many boys dream of waking up and finding themselves champions. What they don't realize is champions are made, not born. That's a fact. Champions are made, not born. Now, I've seen average players make themselves into champions, but it calls for hair trigger condition. For that kind of condition, choose food that sparks you with energy. Champions choose Wheaties. There must be a reason, and this is it. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. If you want to get on your way to the top, keep in mind champions are made, not born. Get on your way with Wheaties. Breakfast of champions.
Now back to the Silver Eagle, Sergeant Jim West of the Lamonte, and his stirring adventure, Detroit for Death. While Joe kept an eye on Sam Bogart, the Silver Eagle climbed into the back of the wagon and proceeded to untie the long, sinister-looking bundle which Sam had been carrying. But as he struck a match and examined the contents, he was amazed to find... Well, I'll be...
What you find, Mother May?
Just a rolled-up straw mattress, a blanket, and some clothing.
Oh, well, of course. I suppose you were counting on finding a dead body. What we do now, Jim?
Wait till I climb down from the wagon.
Well, are you satisfied, Mounty?
No, I'm not. We'll go back and search your house.
You searched out in the stable, and he's been poking around the house for the last half hour. Well, did you find a corpse?
No, but I did find these.
What, bruh? A woman's clothes.
Yes, a dress, a coat, a hat, and a veil.
Where do you find those, Gene?
They were stuffed in one of the dresser drawers.
You explained that, my friend.
Why, I reckon my sister must have left them here.
By mistake, I suppose.
That's no crime.
Where did you say she lives?
In Toronto.
Yeah, where did you come from? I mean, before you moved out west to Alberta.
Me? I was living in Montreal.
Montreal, eh?
That's right. Well, am I free to go now?
No, not yet. I'll have to ask you to stay here at your ranch till we find out definitely what happened to your sister. Come along, Joe.
Leave all of me.
What you take one of me?
I don't know, but I'm fairly sure of one thing.
What's that?
I think Bogart tricked us. He must have known we'd keep a watch on him. When he left here with that bundle, he was doing it for our benefit. He wanted us to chase after him before we had a chance to search the house.
What good that do him? We'll come back and search anyhow. Dead body cannot walk away.
No, but a live person could.
Well, what do you mean by that?
No use going into it now. So far, it's just a hunch. Before I do anything, I want to talk to Mrs. Perky again. In the meantime, I wish you'd stay here.
Oh, good silver evening.
Evening, Mr. Perky. I'd like to speak to your wife if she's home.
Oh, why, certainly, Sergeant West. Come in.
Thanks.
Abigail.
Yes, who is it? Oh, it's you, Sergeant. Tell me, what did you find out? Were my suspicions correct?
I don't know. His sister is not at the ranch. He claims she went back east to Toronto.
You'll mark my words, Sergeant. That man is lying.
Now, Abigail.
I think you're right, Mrs. Perky.
You hear that, John?
Yes, my dear.
I'd like to have a little more information.
You just ask me anything you want to know.
How did you first learn about this woman?
Oh, I saw him driving away from the railway station. He was sitting up beside Sam Bogart on the seat of the buckboard.
Did you get a look at her face?
No. No, I didn't. She was wearing a veil. Besides, it was rather dark out. You see, it was evening. She must have come in on the 7:15 for medicine hat.
Did you speak to Sam or the lady?
No, I didn't get the chance. But I saw him the next day at the general store. That's when he told me she was his sister.
Can you describe her at all? I mean, was she large or small?
Well, now, stop to think of it. She was, rather a large woman. Seemed a bit taller than him.
One thing more. You told me this woman arrived about 2 months ago. Can you remember the exact date?
Oh, land sakes, that's rather difficult now. Let me think. I remember it was the day after Mrs. Jessup sent John for my help. Boy, child. And, that was, yes. If that's right, it must have been April 24th.
The 24th? Then it does tie in. I have something here in my pocket. Have you ever seen this before?
Now, that's a reward notice. Read it, John.
Frank, the boy, wanted for murder in Montreal. Say now, I've seen this notice before. There's one stuck up in the post office.
That's right. The mounted police have been looking for him for the past 2 months.
What does this have to do with Sam Bogart's sister?
Well, it may seem far-fetched, but I think this man may have been masquerading as Bogart's sister.
What's that?
I think he's been using Bogart's ranch as a hideout.
That's fantastic. I tell you, she was one of them mail-order brides.
Shut up! Abigail.
Notice it says that he was last seen in Winnipeg on April 22nd, and he was believed to be heading west. His height is given as 6 foot, which means he's about 2 inches taller than Bogart.
Oh, by heavens, you may have something there, Sergeant.
That's another point. He killed a bank messenger, and the loot amounted to a little more than
$5,000. $5,000? Well, say, that's how much Bogart put in the bank the day after the woman showed up.
Your wife has already told me. He probably had to pay over the loot to Bogart in exchange for a safe hideout.
What do you intend to do now?
Well, first I'm going down to the railway station and have the telegraph operator get in touch with Montreal to learn if Sam Bogart told us the truth. Is that for me, Scotty?
Hey, it is what you've been waiting for. They're relaying it through from medicine hat, draped in a copious boon. Bogart's time, iron, robbery, 1792. There you are, Sergeant.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Scotty. Scotty Bottle.
All right, let's go, boy.
Abigail, there's no sense waking up. If the sergeant finds out anything, he'll let you know in the morning.
I intend to sit up all night if necessary, and furthermore, here he is now.
Well, I'll go see.
Reach, mister.
What? A gun?
Yeah, and it's got a touchy trigger, so step inside and don't argue.
John, who is this man, and why is...
Shut up, you old hen.
What? I've set me on the reward notice.
The boy, Frank, the boy.
Well, you know me. In that case, you know I've already killed one person and two war won't make no difference.
What do you want?
I want money. Money for a getaway down to the States. And I want safe transportation away from this neck of the woods. You're going to provide both, my friend. You and your nosy old windbag of a wife.
Oh, oh, Battle.
Commissar Vargas. What take you so long?
I was waiting for a reply to a telegram message. Anything happened?
A man, no, mon ami. Joe waits right here, and this time he don't drag away.
And let's talk to him again. This time I think we may find out the truth. Hello, Bogart.
You back again?
Yes, we're coming inside. I have a few more questions to ask you.
Well, what is this time?
Have you ever been in trouble with the law?
Me? The law? Of course not.
You're lying, Bogart. You served 5 years in Quebec for armed robbery.
Oh, you found out about that?
Yes, I wired the police in Montreal.
All right, so I've got a record. What about it?
Ever hear of a man named Frank DuBois?
Frank DuBois? No, at least I don't recall that name.
You should. His picture's been plastered all over Western Canada for the past 2 months. He was in prison the same time you were, also in Quebec. Did you know him?
I
tell the truth, Bogart.
He was my cellmate.
I see. You want to go on and tell me the rest of the story, or shall I tell you?
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, yes, you do. That woman who came to your ranch was actually Frank DuBois.
A woman named Frank? Sacre bleu.
You brought him here in disguise and hid him out for $5,000.
No.
Where did he go when he left you?
I tell you, I don't know nothing
I'm
about it.
I'm warning you, Bogart. You're already an accessory after the fact. If DuBois kills again, I'll see that you pay the full penalty of the law.
All right. I'll talk. He was here. He got away while you and Joe were trailing me.
Where'd he go?
He asked me where the banker lived. He said he was sore at the old lady for sending you out.
No.
Come on, sure, she's all right. When the morning of Joe arrived at the banker's house, all was dark and silent.
Okay, bro, they must be there.
I wonder.
You want Joe busted open?
Go ahead. All right, stay there until I light the lamp, then we'll take a look around. Meanwhile, a buggy drawn by two horses was just pulling up at the rear of the bank.
Oh, Duke.
All right, climb up, mister. You too, Poneface.
How dare you talk to me that way?
Go on, get moving. Well, don't stand there. Open the door.
I have to find the key first. Here it is.
Go inside and light the lamp. Remember, I'm holding this gun on your wife, so don't try no funny stuff.
Very well.
You will pay for this if I have...
Shut up.
All right, Cliff.
Inside, soon, please.
Oh,
now get busy and work the top of it.
There's your money. Now what?
Who runs the bank when you're not here?
My chief teller, Donald McClure.
All right. There's pen and ink and paper. Sit down and write him a note. I'll tell you what to write. Mm-hmm. My wife and I have gone to Medicine Hat.
My wife and I...
We'll be back in 3 or 4 days.
Where is it? There's someone at the front door.
I hear it.
She must have seen the light. I'll have to answer it.
Go ahead. Tell him you're working late. And don't let on I'm here or your wife gets a bullet.
Heaven's sake, John, don't give him away. You don't want him to kill me, do you?
No, my dear.
What do you intend to do with us after you leave here? Are you going...
Shut up. I want to hear what's going on out front.
What is that?
An arrow with an eagle feather attached to it.
An eagle feather?
That means a silver eagle. He's out there at the back window.
No, monsieur.
What?
Show me his window.
If I'm right here, the boy, drop your gun.
Hey, where did you?
Oh,
my arm.
I warned you to drop your gun. I'll stand where you are. Don't try any more false moves.
Abigail, are you all right?
Am I all right? Of course I'm all right.
Well, I'll be.
Oh, sir. What happened?
Mrs. Purdy fainted. I'll try to bring her to.
No, please. Not for a day or two. It's so peaceful.
Oh.
Wait till you kids see the big surprise waiting for you at your grocer's. Listen, when you buy the specially marked Cheerios package, you get a free pack of dentine gum. Yes, sir. There's a regular 5-cent pack of dentine gum right inside the Cheerios package. Now, there's a good reason why Cheerios brings you the pack of dentine. You see, Cheerios is made from energy-packed oats, made to give you vitamins and minerals you need for healthy nerves, good red blood, and naturally good sound teeth. So, to help you keep those teeth sound, Cheerios offers you a pack of dentine gum, because dentine is especially made to help keep teeth clean and white. So ask Mother to get that special Cheerios package tomorrow. Tell her to get the big yellow Cheerios package that says free dentine gum right on the front. You'll find your free pack of dentine inside. Today's story of the Great Northwest was written by James Lawrence. Jim Amici stars in the part of Jim West. Joe Badeau is played by Jacques Lister. The Silver Eagle is a copyrighted transcribed feature of Jewel Radio and Television Production. This is Bill O'Connor. This program came to you from Chicago. This is ABC Radio Network.
Let's continue now with our stroll down memory lane. We'll head on back to 1943, and it looks like there's more snow and ice up ahead as we go back to meet with King of the Royal Mounted, created by Zane Grey, and stars Richard Dix in the title role. Tonight's story, Constable Reardon's First Case.
It's King of the Royal Mounted. Yes, it's Zane Grey's most romantic and adventuresome character, King of the Royal Mounted. In another Northwoods mystery adventure in the great lone land of mighty rivers and giant snow-capped mountains. And starring as red-coated Sergeant King, one of the most outstanding favorites of the screen, Broadway, and radio, Richard Dix. And now, the curtains part on the first act of tonight's mystery drama, starring Richard Dix as King of the Royal Mounted. Although it is still early morning, in his office at the divisional headquarters of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Inspector McKenzie has a visitor, a youngster known affectionately as Kid. There's a worried frown on Kid's face as he puts into words a disturbing thought.
Gee, Inspector McKenzie, I'm sure worried about King. He's 4 days overdue getting back here to the post.
Well, there's really no reason to be worried, Kid. King had almost 800 miles to cover on that patrol.
Oh, I know that, sir, and I wouldn't think much about it if King hadn't promised Don Reardon he'd be back Monday at the very latest.
Yes.
You see, he and Don are such close friends. You know he'd have gotten back in time to see Don sworn into the mounted police unless something went wrong.
Yes, it would take a good deal to have made King miss that ceremony. Well, the dog's outside. Must be somebody coming in now.
Sergeant King's just returned, Inspector.
Oh, good.
Looks like he's been hurt, though, sir.
What?
He's got his left arm.
King's hurt?
He's fetching in a prisoner.
Ron, get on in there, Mahmood. This is the end of the trail for
yeah.
you.
Hello, King. Hello, Kid. Well, what happened to your arm, Sergeant?
Hello, Inspector. You just got a little scratch. I'd have made it back in plenty of time for Don's enlistment if Mahmood here hadn't gone in a binge and tried to carve up his neighbor.
His neighbor?
Yes. And then just so I wouldn't feel slighted, I guess, he took a chunk out of me.
Mamouche, this is about the fourth time we've had you in here for the same offense.
Huh?
You know we'll have to lock you up and throw the key away.
No, no lock up, Mamouche.
Inspector, look out!
Mamouche, kill the policeman!
Not just that, you won't.
King, look out!
King, easy. Well, thanks, King. Constable.
Yes, sir?
Take this Indian and lock him up.
Right, sir.
Oh, say, King, who's that other Indian you brought along there?
Oh, him. Well, that's Nicodla.
Nicodla?
I didn't bring him, he just came. You see,
I stopped Mamouche from making mincemeat out of Nakoda's old man, and he's followed me like a grateful puppy ever since. You better light out for the home wiki up, Nakoda. It's all right. Mamouche won't bother you anymore. Maybe one, maybe two moons, I'll be up your way again. Chimo kuta Nakoda.
Chimo.
Goodbye.
Now, you'd better have that arm taken care of, Sergeant.
Oh, I'm all right, Inspector. A few winks of sleep, I'll be back in the pink again.
Gosh, King, I'd sure like to have been with you when you had that scrap with Mamouche. He's a tough... Oh, wait a second, I'll open the door for you.
Oh, well, thanks. Thanks. Well, King, I see you got the arm dressed.
Yeah.
Well, the doctor said if King had waited another 24 hours, it might have been real serious, Inspector.
Very likely.
Has Constable Reardon come in since I've gotten back? I'm certainly itching to see him in that new red outfit.
Well, look, here he is, Sergeant.
King!
Don, hello! Gosh, I could have cut off my arm rather than to miss you seeing you sworn in.
Looks as if you're tired. The boys outside told me about Mamouche. The arm okay?
Oh, yeah, just a scratch.
Well, good. And in that case, I'll have my sister bake you one of our apple pies to celebrate.
Well, now, young fellow, that's something I could use. So you're a full-fledged mounted policeman now, huh, Don?
Yep. How do I look in the uniform?
Great, Don. Great. You know, Inspector, if you keep picking them like Don, K Division will be the best looking outfit in the force, at least.
Oh, excuse me, King. What is it, Constable?
Anderson, sir. Says he's got a message from August Cole, who runs a trading post up on the Wolverine River.
All right, send him in, Constable.
Go on in, Frenchie. Inspector will see you.
Say, you've got a message for me from Cole?
Oui, monsieur. I have it here.
Business must be pretty bad up his way. He's written the thing on wrapping paper. When you go back there, you tell him that, Well, no.
Anything wrong, Inspector?
Yes, a man missing up on the Wolverine River. Cole has a hunch it's not just a simple case of wandering off, either.
Well, Cole's never been the kind to holler wolf without some reason.
Well, Wolverine's in your territory, King. Better send a man up there to investigate.
Me? Let me go, King.
No, Don, I think I'd better go myself.
But, King, with your arm hurt that way?
Oh, come on, I'm dying to go.
Well, all right. After all, you're a constable now. Take along enough supplies for 2 weeks on the trail. There's no store, you know, between here and Cole's place.
Oh, I'll need a pack horse then.
Yes, and when you're all packed and ready, I'll meet you at the gate.
Boy, this is swell. Won't this be surprised when I tell her? Only 4 days on the force, and you've given me my first assignment.
There's something else I wish I could give you, Don. Unfortunately, I can't.
What's that, King?
That sixth sense that warns a man when there's going to be trouble. Yes, sir, when you can hear those bullets whistling, Don, it's usually too late to join in the second chorus. Now, you've got those trails to Cole's store all set in your mind, Don.
You bet I have, King.
Golly, I wish it was me who was going. I don't see why the mounted police have to be so fussy about the ages of their recruits.
Well, you just keep on the way you're going, kid. You'll be old enough to join up one of these days.
When a fellow's only 15, it seems like he'll never be old enough for, you know, well, for anything.
There you are, Don.
Well, here comes Sis to see me off.
Hello, Beth. Well, what do you think of this brother of yours going out on his first patrol?
Since you've asked me, I think it was just a little cowardly of you to send Don out on a dangerous mission like this.
Yes,
but Beth, Don's in the service of the Crown, and besides, he has to go.
Of course, he thinks it's just a grand adventure. But you know different, Sergeant King. You know it's a job for an experienced man.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Beth.
I should think a man like you would feel a little ashamed of passing the buck to a person you call a friend. Well, as long as you've got to go, Don, be careful.
Gosh, King, I don't know what to say.
Nothing, Don. Anything, I'd better do, I guess. It's just this. Good luck, fella. You look mighty swell in that uniform. Now, don't you forget what it stands for. Good morning, Inspector.
any word from Don Reardon yet?
Yes, King, in the way. Look at this.
A constable's field hat?
Yes.
All battered and water-soaked. Well, where'd you get it, sir?
Some Indian fished it out of the Wolverine, took it into Cole. Cole sent it down to me.
What is that,
Don? His initials were on the band inside, King. D.R., Don Reardon.
Good morning, Inspector McKendrick. My brother's been gone 3 weeks now, and I want to know... That hat.
This hat was just sent down to me, Miss Reardon. Of course, we don't quite know
Don
yet.
Don's hat. And you don't quite know. Don't know, isn't that plain enough for you to understand? You've only got to look at that battered hat to know that Don is dead. I hope that satisfies you, Sergeant
King. That hat doesn't prove a thing, Bess. It might indicate that he's been in some sort of an accident, but... With the inspector's permission, Bess, I'll start for Cole's trading post at once.
Your sudden interest in my brother's welfare is very touching, Sergeant King. But I'm afraid it's just a little late. A little too late.
But, Bess, I... If anything's happened to that boy, Inspector, I'll never forgive myself.
But you're not to blame, King. Those are risks we all run every day. And it may be that you'll find that the lad's still all right.
I hope so, Inspector. That's one thing I hope with all my heart.
Whoa there. Whoa, boy. Here's Cole's place. Hello, Cole.
Hiya.
Soaking up a little sunshine?
Yes, Sergeant. Gotta get it while you can, you know. Winter will be here again pretty soon.
Too soon, suit me. Heard any more about Constable Reardon since the native brought in his hat?
Oh, the inspector got my message all right then, eh?
Yes, unfortunately.
Well, I ain't heard another word. Some of the engine boys have been searching along the riverbank, but they ain't turned up a thing. Not a thing.
Not a thing, huh? Well, then, tell me what you know about the man you notified us had disappeared.
Don't know an awful lot, King. There were two of them came up here originally from the States.
Thanks.
Camped on the river just above the white water. Then one day, some Indians came by and told me one of them had disappeared.
Oh, then you never saw the men yourself.
Oh, yeah. I seen them when they first come into this country. They stopped here to ask some directions.
And that was the only time you saw them?
Yeah, the only time I saw them both. Later, the one who's left came into my store to buy some tobacco and a few little things. I asked him about his partner, and he told me he'd gone back to the States.
What made you think that there might have been, well, call it foul play?
Well, I don't know exactly. I guess it was the way that fella acted when I asked him about his friend.
Oh, you mean his answers were evasive?
Well, they just didn't make good sense.
Mm-hmm.
When he had a wild look like a scared rabbit. Crazy, that's what I think.
Crazy,
yeah.
Huh? Well, to get back now to Constable Reardon and his hat, what about him?
Well, he came up here in answer to the note I sent the inspector. And I told him just about what I've told you, and he led out to the river on foot. I've never laid eyes on him from that day to this, except to have the Indian bring me in his hat.
Well, if anybody had seen him, you'd have heard about it post.
Why, certainly.
And this man from the States, is he still camped on the river?
Yeah, he was the last I heard.
Mm-hmm. What's he look like, Cole?
Well, he's 6'1" or 6'2", weighs in the neighborhood of 220 pounds, I'd say. His hair and beard are almost black. Name's Ferroni or something like that.
No, thanks. Guess I better follow the river and see if I can locate this Mr. Ferroni. Well, what's this?
Change me, kid.
Kid? Well, what in the deuce are you doing out here?
King, it's Bess, Don's sister. She skipped out of Fort Providence and left a note saying she was going to hunt for her brother herself.
Bess Reardon out in this wilderness alone? Well, isn't that just dandy?
Is there anything I can do, King?
Yes, kid, there is. Now, look. If Bess hasn't gotten herself completely lost, she's bound to show up here at Cole's place. Now, you stay right here and wait for her. There's a bit of important business upriver with a Mr. Ferroni I've got to attend to.
Well, there's lots of fallen timber up there, King. You better leave your horse here with me.
Right, Cole. And Kid. Now, I'm counting on you to keep Bess here. Don't let her leave the place.
Okay, Jim.
If you're going to be a mounted policeman someday, you'll have to learn how to reason with, with an unreasonable woman. Now, this is a pretty good chance, huh? A wonderful chance.
But I didn't kill Nielsen. I swear I didn't. One day I was going out prospecting, see? Mm. Nielsen, that was my partner's name. Well, he didn't want to go. He was lazy, Nielsen was. Never wanted to do nothing but get sex. Well, I didn't, so I left him in camp and went out alone.
When you came back, I suppose you found him dead.
His head was kind of crushed, and his money belt was gone. Money belt and $1,000. Yeah, I guess he was dead, all right.
And, just what did you do then?
I dug a deep hole and... I don't like people to stare at me, Sergeant. I don't like the way you're staring at me now. People always stare at me.
Now, take it easy, Peroni. Take it easy. If you didn't kill Nielsen, I'll see that nothing happens.
Who's that?
King.
Kid.
King, I Beth. Know I could, but Beth left. She wouldn't stay at the trading post.
Why should I? When I need a nursemaid, I'll pick my own, thank you. So this is the man who killed my brother, is it? All right, Sergeant. I'll just save you the trouble of taking him in.
King, she's got a rifle. Look out.
Let go of my rifle.
Don't be a fool, Beth.
King, Peroni ducked in the bush. Peroni got away.
Do you know what you've done, Beth? You've let loose a raving lunatic.
A lunatic? Oh, I'm sorry, King. I
don't want to lose my patience, Beth, but if you don't do as I tell you, I most certainly will. Now, you go on back to Cole's trading post, and you stay there until... Well, until I come for you. And, young lady, that's an order from the mounted police.
The world is filled with change these days. Even the century-old word morale has a different spelling out on the battlefront. In soggy jungles or on freezing mountain peaks, morale is spelled M-A-I-L. Yes, M-A-I-L, male. Male means more to our men fighting our battles than any other thing. It's their real tie with home. Have you a relative near or close, or even an acquaintance out there? If you have, remember, they are sparing years for you. Certainly, you can spare minutes for them. Sit down tonight. Write that letter. Then next week, write again. Your pen will lend might to their sword. Now, back to the second act of tonight's exciting Zane Grey adventure, starring Richard Dix as King of the Royal Mounted. It's next day, and King and Kid, his young companion, have tracked the escaped suspect for many miles, only to lose the trail in a wilderness of tangled undergrowth and trees. Tired, hungry, and disheveled, they stop to rest for a moment on the bank of the lower Wolverine.
Say, Kid, there are a few berries on those bushes behind you.
Oh, boy. Have some, King?
No, thanks. There aren't very many. Besides, I lived a whole month on green berries once. I sort of lost my taste for them.
Sure, they're not too bad when a fellow's hungry.
Listen, the way that brush is all mashed down, I'd say some bear found them very palatable.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one.
You know, on second thought, I'm not so sure it was a bear. Looks like someone broke a trail through the brush to get to the river.
Better try some berries, King. They're going fast.
Indian, likely. Well... There's a bit of something colored caught in the briars. Right behind you, kid.
Hmm? Where? Oh, yeah. Red woolen thread. About the color of your tunic. Here, look and see if it doesn't match.
Matches perfectly. And that makes me wonder if Don...
Don? Well, what about Don, King?
Well, I'll go into Don's part of this later, kid. Right now, we've got to shove along and try to pick up Frony's trail.
You think you can, King?
Oh, we've got to. I won't breathe easy until that lunatic's in custody.
Yeah, I'll see.
Come on, kid. Now, we got to beat every foot of brush from the Wolverine back to Cole's place and double quick.
Bought that rocker you're sitting in from the Hudson Bay Trading Company over at Fort Reliance.
It's really a very comfortable chair.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yeah?
What do you suppose is keeping Sergeant King so long?
Oh, well, that's rough country in there, Miss Reardon. Roney could have given him the slip.
Oh, dear, I wish I hadn't lost my head.
Now, don't go to worrying. King won't never give up the chase until he gets him. They're like that, them mounted police. Great body of men.
What time is it, Mr. Cole?
Well, let me see now. It's just 6:30, miss. It's dark mighty early this time of the year. Oh, say, I just remembered something. I gotta go up to the spring and fetch a bucket of water, else we won't have nothing to make coffee with in the morning.
Is it far to the spring?
Oh, a few hundred feet. You ain't scared to stay here by yourself, are you?
Oh, no. Go right ahead, Mr. Cole. I'll be all right.
Well, it won't take me but a few minutes, miss. Just a few minutes.
Oh, hello.
Stop that staring at me that way.
Excuse me. I didn't mean to.
You're still staring.
You look tired. Why don't you sit down?
You were going to kill me, weren't you? I remember it. You pointed a gun at me.
No, please, that was a mistake.
A very serious mistake.
You made a mistake too, Sergeant. Now I've got to kill you.
I hoped I wouldn't have to do this, but...
Oh, King!
Now to get these handcuffs on him.
Oh, you got him, Sergeant. Hey, that's Ferroni, all right. Good work.
Is there a room here, Cole, where I can lock Peroni up for the night?
Yeah, there's an empty storeroom right over yonder.
Good. Help me hoist him up on my shoulder, Cole.
There.
Thanks. Now, somebody open that door for me.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Hey, what happened, Miss Reardon? I heard you, yeah.
It was that man. He frightened me almost to death.
Oh.
Well, King, Peroni locked up?
You bet he is. Cole, if you figure out what I owe you for Miss Reardon's keep and for stabling our horses, I'll pay you now and get that off my mind.
Well, $3 apiece for the horses and $10 for the girls' board and room.
Well, then there'll be lodging for all of us for tonight.
Yeah, that'll come to, let's see, $37.
Well, not the cheapest place in the Dominion, Cole, but... Well, here's a $100 gold note. That is, if you've got change.
Gee, $100.
I can change it, all right. If you don't mind taking U.S. currency.
Not at all.
Yeah, 3 and 10, that's 50, and 50 is 100, right?
Right. By the way, where'd you get hold of so much U.S. paper?
Oh, from Peroni. I told you, didn't I? He came in and bought some stuff.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, what do you say we all turn in? I want to get an early start in the morning.
Yeah, I sure won't need any lullabies.
Where do Kid and I bunk, Cole?
I got another room right next to the one Miss Reardon has. Got a double bunk in it.
Good enough. You two better hit the straw. I'll take a last look at Peroni and see that he's comfortable. Then I'll grab a little sleep myself.
Mm-hmm.
King.
Hmm?
King, you asleep?
No, kid. You better go on and doze off. You've had a couple tough days.
Can't sleep, King. Just lay here thinking.
Still trying to figure out about that red thread, huh? Why we came back here to Cole's place on the double.
Yeah. I can't figure out how you could tell from that little piece of wool that Ronnie'd come back here to the trading post.
Well, I didn't, exactly.
You didn't?
No. I could see his trail ending in those rocks above the river. And since the man couldn't swim those rapids at that point, he must have doubled back.
But what was there about that thread, then, that made you make up your mind so suddenly?
Well, you want to be a constable someday, kid. What do you think?
All I can see is that maybe Don was the one who trampled down those bushes. But Peroni, I...
Oh, Don did climb through those berries. How was it that his hat was found downstream from there?
Downstream?
Of course. If his hat was found near Cole's place, how did Don, if he got in the water... I think I hear what I've been waiting for.
Huh? Am I waiting for something?
Yes. Yeah, move over, kid. I'm going to climb out of my bunk and get into the upper bunk with you.
King, you've got me all mixed up now. What's going on here tonight?
Well, if I'm right, the murderer is loose and outside in that hallway.
Peroni loose?
Yeah, he's there all right.
I don't get it, King.
Well, I hope I don't. That's why I crawled out of my bunk and got in with you. I think the killer will sneak in here and try to get rid of me now.
But why, King? Why should Peroni do that? Besides, didn't you handcuff me?
Sure, I handcuffed Peroni. And what's more... Shh, the door's opening. I don't even know. Don't move.
Come down.
What? King, you...
Oh, no, kid. Look out, he's still got that gun. All right, now. We'll have to fix the rest of this little job.
King. King, you all right?
Yes, kid, I guess so. Now, come on. Get a match and light that candle. Well, kid, there's your murderer.
Jeepers, King. King the killer. It's Mr. Cole. Then Mr. Peroni really didn't kill his partner, King.
No, Bess. Cole killed him for that $1,000 he's seen in his money belt.
But how did you happen to suspect Cole?
Well, his story was too pat. Sending down Don's hat was only to take suspicion off him.
Sure, and then when he told King about Peroni buying some things, well, he only mentioned tobacco and little stuff.
That's why I sprung that $100 bill on him, to see if he could change it. And, of course, he fell right into the trap.
Well, Peroni certainly fooled me. Maybe because he was deranged.
Yeah, the solitude was getting him anyhow. And when he found his partner dead, he cracked completely.
Hey, King, look what's coming. An Indian with a scraw drag.
I see.
But you still haven't explained about my brother and why you think he's still alive.
Because how could his hat have been upstream from where... Oh, but I don't have to explain, Brett. We let Don do it himself. How are you, Constable Wiz?
Hello, King.
Don! Oh, John, you're alive!
Thanks to McCordley here, who is paying off a little bit of gratitude to King. He fished me out of the Wolverine. I was just about to go.
Well, Chimo, not Peddler Chimo.
Chimo.
Well, Don, did Cole get you too?
Did he? Well, the stick of stove wood. You see, King, he had that U.S. currency, so I suspected him from the first minute I talked with him, and, well, I guess he knew it. Anyway, he caught me off guard, let me have it over the head, and dumped me in the river.
Oh, Don.
And then the colonel saw you and hauled you up on the bank and threw a patch of berry brush, huh?
Berry brush? How'd you know?
My dear Constable Reardon, the mounted police are supposed to know everything.
And I almost messed things up for King, right, Don?
Oh, forget it.
Then when we get back to Fort Providence, I'm going to take you up on that invitation supper.
I'll get this and make you another apple pie.
Well, you better make it two. Make it two, because I'd like to bring Kid along. He's been a great help. We both like our slices extra big. You sent for me, Inspector McKenzie?
Yes, King, I did. I wanted to congratulate you personally on the bang-up job you did apprehending our friend Cole.
Well, thank you, sir. Oh, by the way, what about Corferone? Your medical think he can help him?
Yes, what the doctor said, with a little rest, he believes he can pull Corferone around.
Sure.
He owes you a vote of thanks, too.
Well, a peace officer's job saved lives, Inspector.
Yes, you said that in your report. And incidentally, your enthusiastic paragraph about Don Reardon was going to help that young man.
Well, he located the killer first. Constable Reardon, he deserves the credit.
Constable, eh? Well, have it your way, King, but he's on the register now as Corporal Reardon.
Corporal? Oh, gosh, Inspector, that's really great. You know, we need men like that. Well, sir, what's my next assignment?
Your next assignment, Sergeant King?
Mm-hmm.
You're to report to Corporal Reardon's house. There's a young lady there who's been waiting 3 weeks for you to have dinner.
Yes, we'll all be back again next week at our usual time. Richard Brooks, Al Sack and his orchestra, and our cast of outstanding Hollywood radio players in our rattling yarn starring Richard Dix as Zane Grey's one and only King of the Royal Mounted. Till then, this is John M. Kennedy saying, so long for now. King of the Royal Mounted was written by Paul Franklin and Albert Van Antwerp and was directed by Paul Franklin. King of the Royal Mounted comes to you from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Well, that concludes my presentation for this evening. I hope you've all enjoyed it and enjoyed the rest of the evening, and we'll see you back here next time. Have a great evening, everyone. Back to you, Bob.